let all the men come listen to us right now. Yeah. This is words of wisdom.
This will save your marriage.
This will, yes.
Go drag your husband right
now. And if you're not married, this will get you a date.
The DivaCast, number 11, 14 July 2006. Everybody, we are the Five Divas, and we are all here today. Yay! It is a beautiful day where we live, and we're not going to tell you because it's a big, fat secret.
Like we've never mentioned it before.
Well, we have to keep them guessing. You know what? I saw something in the, where was it? It was in the news yesterday about secrets and about how important it is to keep secrets in marketing. And they were talking about McDonald's and how their secret sauce, it's been a secret. But you know what?
It's no longer Thousand Island.
Yes! Bingo, Julie.
You broke the code.
I knew that secret.
You worked at McDonald's.
You cheat.
Yeah. I did not work at McDonald's. I worked at a lot of other places, but I did not work at McDonald's.
And what's wrong with that? I worked at Hardee's for a month.
My husband worked at Burger King when he was in high school. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Now, I don't want to say anything bad about the fast food industry, but...
No,
you know
we
what?
Love fast food.
Oh, we love it, but we're there. Who wants to work there?
I don't want my kids working
there. I don't either. Okay, before we start, I brought you a present. Oh! I brought you a Diva 2.
Oh, a Diva 2.
Here's your lotion.
Oh, being very secretive.
I was being
excellent.
Very secretive. Everybody
Thank
gets
you.
One.
What is
the
all?
Oil of Olay Quench Body Lotion. And it's the one that you guys, every time I wear it, I have it on now.
I'm gonna
and
try
it has just a little hint of sparkle. Not big sparkle, see?
Oh, does it smell cool. nice?
See how my arms
very
are?
Nice.
Very, very subtle.
Very creamy.
So this is a Diva Do, and I brought you each one.
What's that word? Do you put it in your decollage, decoupage? What's that called?
Decoupage?
No,
decollage.
Decollage?
Yes, you're between your
cleavage.
Tatas.
Say that word again.
I didn't know that's what you called it.
Decollage?
I don't know how to say it.
You could put it there if you want it to sparkle.
Thank you, Julie.
It's very subtle.
It
is lovely.
Very, very nice.
And it looks really good when you have a tan. See?
Oh, this is
see
fabulous.
Everyone? It looks good.
Okay, Julie, so please say again what this is. This is?
It's Oil of Olay Quench. And they also have a firming lotion, which
God
is
knows
good.
I need that.
Because
okay.
it tightens the collagen.
So we put the extra dry quench on our arms and then the extra firm on our buttocks.
Sure.
Wherever you need it.
Wherever you need
Wherever
firming.
You need shine, sweetie. Where do you need to sparkle? You can have a sparkly bottle.
Well, when you're wearing your thong.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, there you
that's
go.
True. Alrighty then.
Okay, this is totally, totally a deviation from where we were going to go. So Sharon, you had something you wanted to share with us.
Yes, I am not a diabetic.
Yay!
What are you? I'm an Aquarius.
I think it's an Aries. No, it was scary, because for a while there I was like, whoo, way up there. But then I came back down.
Wait, tell everybody.
So you had your glucose test.
I had the 3-hour glucose tolerance test. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but that sugary stuff actually tasted pretty good to me. So that is not a good. I thought, oh, this is not a good sign.
But isn't that, do you do that when you're pregnant? Did I just
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So it's the same stuff.
Yeah. I remember
really
being grossed out the first time. And this,
you're
I had just
addicted to
and I was like,
anything. Any
this,
kind
isn't
of food.
This isn't that bad. This isn't that bad. You got a second. So but the first two were real high. And
the
then
two numbers?
First two numbers. They did it 30 minutes, then an hour and an hour.
Okay.
So that adds up to 3, yes. So the first two or three were high. So anyway, then she said, the next one, you'll be a diabetic if it's too high. And I wasn't. So there you go.
Yay.
So there it is. But he
That's
said, I'm like going there.
Hypoglycemic maybe?
No, he just said, I have those tendencies. So I have to be careful.
Well,
I'm
you have a family history.
That way. Yeah, I'm trending that way.
So what are you going to have to do?
diet and exercise.
Oh my gosh. I know.
Yeah. No more complaining when I'm knocking at your door to walk.
Get out of bed, sister.
I know. So anyway, fate worse than death.
That's excellent.
Yeah, that is good.
Really,
all good,
really
stuff.
Good news.
Well,
good.
You know, isn't it a pain that we have to worry about all that stuff now?
Man. I know. You never had to worry about it in your 20s and 30s.
No. Women in our 40s. Yeah. Everything's changing.
Yep. He said in 6 months there'll be a drug, though, that I can take. Hopefully that'll eliminate the diet and exercise.
You liar.
No, he didn't.
Sharon, you are not.
No, but I know. But anyway, he said there is a drug coming out in 6 months.
Cool. Very good. Yes. We all need that drug.
Yes, we do.
So don't know the name. Have to exercise or diet.
That's how I interpreted it.
Take a pill.
Just take this little pill, drive through.
That sounds great.
Okay. All right, Suzanne, tell us your story.
Okay, we were going to talk today about, what were we going to talk about?
Friends.
About friends.
And our kids' friends.
But our kids' friends. Our kids' friends.
Right.
I was going to tell you how one of my friends early in my teens influenced me in a very naughty, naughty, bad, bad way.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I was a really a wild child in my teens. And when I was 15 years old, my parents went away to Hawaii. And at the time, we lived in upstate New York. Well, my boyfriend was having a big 21st birthday bash, and I had lied to my parents about his age.
Wait.
No, I was 16.
Oh, that makes a big difference.
Wow. And he was 21?
Wow. You had a 21-year-old boyfriend?
My parents didn't know.
Wow.
I lied to them, and because he looked young, I lied and said he was only 18, and he had just graduated from college. I mean, high school. I'm sorry. That he had just graduated from high school. So I lied to my parents. So there was lie number one.
But you looked older.
I looked older and he looked younger.
Did he know you were 15?
16. I was 16.
Oh, 16.
I was 16. Yeah.
That's a red flag.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's that telling you?
Yeah, but did you see pictures?
Okay, but you know, when you're 16, Julie, you don't think mature like that. Like, oh, what does that mean about
him?
He's
thinking easy. Yeah, all right, anyway.
Probably. No,
I'm
she
sorry.
Was beautiful, so he probably wanted to get her while he could.
Thank you, Carrie.
I'm serious.
Thank
anyway,
you.
Anyway, go ahead
sweetie.
With the story.
All right, so here's my story. My parents go away. I am not supposed to be going out. I was grounded for some other misdemeanor that I had done. And so what I did is I locked my bedroom door like around 6 o'clock in the evening. My brother was supposed to be watching all over us, my brother Mark. I, you know, made my bed looking like somebody was sleeping in, blah, 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 walked out the front door, didn't come home until 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, my parents were having the house painted that summer, so there was a ladder, an aluminum ladder that I had moved during the day that day, so it would be right under my bedroom window so I could get back in the middle of the night and nobody would know. Well, this is what I did. Unbeknownst to me, my parents came home
and
while I was at the party. They came home, found out I was not in my bedroom, had no idea where I was. My father, being an engineer, he rigged up my bed so that as soon as I hit my bed, he had an alarm go off. Beep, 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 beep. So here I am. Now remember, this is in the 70s. This is in the late 70s. Okay, 16,
very
late 70s.
Late. Very late.
Very
almost
late.
The
90s. Almost, yeah, almost the 90s.
Almost the 90s, skip the 80s.
Okay, remember when clogs, I don't know. If,
oh, I had clogs.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They had mushrooms on them.
Okay, I had really cute clogs. So here I am in clogs climbing up an aluminum ladder. While it's going clonk, clonk, clonk. You know, I'm 16. I'm stupid. And I have to crawl over the roof, hop through my bedroom window, and I jump on my bed. As soon as I hit the bed, the alarm goes off. And I think, oh, my father has this rigged. I knew right away what had happened. My father came in there, and I
stuff
actually,
deep.
Yeah, I got in big trouble. Yeah, he came in with a belt. Yeah.
Really?
When you were 16?
When I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. But anyway, the bottom line is, I did this all because of my friends were influencing me. Oh, come on, Sue, you can do it. They'll never know. So that's my story.
Have we all done that?
Oh, wow. That's.
Yeah. We don't even want to go there.
I'm speechless.
You're speechless?
I am.
You didn't do anything that bad?
I can tell you a little story about influencing of friends
okay,
when I was
Amy.
A kiddo. I was always, I was really a wild child too, but I was the most paranoid. Can you imagine that? In my group of friends.
Amy paranoid?
I was cautious.
There, that's a good word.
Anyway, they all were like shoplifters. And I would never steal anything because I knew I was going to get caught. Knew it. We all went to the mall, you know, took a bus to the mall. And it just happened that my parents were out of town that weekend. And I was being watched by my older siblings as well. Parents were at like, and they hadn't, it was like they went to a hotel for the weekend just to get away from us. You know, I mean, it was like still in the city that we lived. Anyway.
What city was this, by the way? If you want to say.
It was Clearwater, Florida.
Okay.
So anyway, we went to the mall and it was decided that we were all going to steal bathing suits. And so went and to JCPenney's and stole bathing suits. And I never had done it before, did it, and got so busted. There was a little old lady sitting out by the waiting room like she was waiting for her grandchild to come out. She was like the spy of JCPenney's.
Oh, no.
And I walk out of the store and I get this little lady going, excuse me, excuse me. And I turn around and I'm like, may I help you? I thought she was lost. She goes, could you tell me where that bathing suit went? I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh,
no. Did you have it on under your clothes?
Yeah, I had it on underneath my clothes. And I said, I don't know. And anyway, so they take me downstairs. They call the police. I go and they take me out of the mall in handcuffs.
Oh my gosh.
And in a police cruiser. And they're going, where are your parents? I'm like, I think they're at like
they're in a hotel.
They're at a Howard Johnson's or something crazy. And they're going, well, and I'm like, well, there's a Howard Johnson's right there. And he's like telling me to look for their car in the parking lot and stuff to see, because they needed to get in touch with my parents, you know. Anyway, took me down to the police station, threatened to mugshot me, put me up on the stool where they take the pictures and stuff.
Oh my gosh!
I think I was in junior high school still. I was in eighth grade. So how old are you?
Wow, that is scary.
Like 13, 14.
Yeah. Anyway, never did it again.
How scary were you? That whole tough love thing. Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, it's that friend influencing you kind of thing. And you just hope your kids don't get into that kind of situation. They probably will at some point in time, of course.
Oh, they'll be in that. Mine always had to do with alcohol.
You what? I'm sorry?
I said my situations always had to do with alcohol.
Uh-oh. Your friend's situations?
Yeah, being influenced to drink alcohol.
Mine was that or drugs. I can remember going to the beach and they passed out. She said, here's your vitamin. And it was a hit of speed.
Who's this? A friend of yours?
Uh-huh.
Did you take it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like it?
When I was 17, I did, or 18. That's just so we could, you know, because by now it was probably, you know, we had come in about probably 6 or 7 that morning. Slept for a couple hours and then got right back up and we're headed to the beach and then we would go, then we'd come home and change, take a shower and then go to all the clubs by about 10 or 11 and then stay out all night in Panama City. Redneck Riviera.
Sharon, you never were influenced by anybody, were you?
No, you were
a good girl.
I pretty much was, actually.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, I
bitch.
Was. I was, you know.
That's why she almost didn't get to be a diva. She was our default diva.
Diva by default.
Yeah.
You weren't bad enough.
She wasn't bad enough.
No, I really.
Weren't naughty.
I wasn't.
That is so boring.
I know.
So what did you do for fun?
I guess the wildest thing I ever did, in retrospect, it was probably the stupidest thing I ever did. We would drive to the beach, and I was 15, and my dad would lend my friend his car so we could drive to the beach. That's well, the little detail was she was 15 as well. She wasn't. And, you know, he never asked. He just trusted. And I think back and I'm thinking, what was I thinking? I mean, we just thought it was just great.
Well, see,
and
that's what we did.
The whole thing was, my gosh, we could have ruined my parents.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I told my best friend when I was in high school and I was 15, I had my learners. The law is you had to have a licensed driver that was an adult over 18, I guess, in the car with you. Well, I told my mother that all she had to be was a licensed driver, and my best friend was 16.
Oh,
so we would. I took the car. I drove from when I was 15 on everywhere with my girlfriend in the car.
Mm-mm. And your mom thought that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about, are we going to be gullible parents like that?
No.
No. My kids don't stand a chance.
If we were innocent when we were kids, we might have been gullible, but I think we'll be on the...
I'm very in tune to what they're doing, where they're going, what they're saying, all that kind of stuff. That's what I'm saying.
So, Sharon, what were you going to say, though? You were going to tell us a story.
I was going to tell y'all a little story that happened to me the other day, and I thought it was really weird. Okay, so my daughter makes a phone call to her friend on my cell phone to invite her to go somewhere.
To invite her friend to go somewhere.
Right. And I guess her friend couldn't go, and during the conversation at some point, my daughter makes the comment, oh, I hate you, oh, I'm so mad at you, blah, blah, blah. And she's the consummate drama queen. So 5 minutes later, the phone rings, and my daughter answers it, and it is her friend's mother. Mm-hmm. And her friend's mother is calling to see if my daughter is mad at her daughter.
Ew.
I think your friend's mother has no life.
I thought that was so bizarre. And I just started thinking about it. It's like, I would never get involved in that kind of stuff. I would counsel my daughter if I thought she was doing something incorrect or rude or whatever, but certainly not
pick up the phone and call her friend.
Are you mad at my daughter? Yeah, but even if it's your daughter that you feel has been hurt, then you counsel your daughter that in that respect and say, you know, leave it up to her. If she wants to call and say, hey, you know, I didn't like the way you talked to me or whatever, but don't pick up the phone and, fight your battles.
Yeah, it's so intimidating. And my neighbor did that one time, my crazy neighbor. I have a very crazy neighbor who just berated a child to the point that he was hysterical.
What?
Oh, that's a whole
That's a mental problem. Then.
And the good news is she's an airline pilot. So. That's not. So, okay. But she paraded this child to the point of he was hysterical.
What had he done?
He had thrown pine needles in her outside hot tub.
Oh, my
star. Oh, it was. Gosh.
She's a freak.
She became unglued. And instead of dealing with the parents, you know, the adults deal with adults. Right. The kids deal, you know, her conversation should have been something like, well, hopefully the hot tub's not broken, which is what she was claiming. And if it is, I need to speak to your parents. But she went and berated this child. It was just the whole parent, you know, you got to realize an adult talking to another child that's not their own.
Okay,
the impact it has.
Okay, so
I agree with that.
I know. I was just going to say, so how do we handle that? How do you guys think you should handle that? Because I often will talk to the kid
first.
Too.
Depends on the offense.
But not to the point
to
where he's
right.
in tears. I mean, this woman was threatening him with, your parents are going to owe me $5,000 to fix my hot tub.
So inappropriate.
No, but I think if you have a kid over at your house playing with your kids and they do something that you don't approve of in your household, then, I mean, I have often said, hey, you know what? We don't do that in our house. And if they keep it up, I'll say, you don't need to be here. You don't need to be here if you're going to continue.
Right.
But I don't yell at them or, you
right.
know.
No, and that's what I've done, Carrie, is say, you know what? We don't talk like that over here. So if you're going to talk like that, then you need to go home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I have sent a child home one time. I said, you know what? We don't play like that here. So you need to go home. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to come back tomorrow, you come back and you don't do that same thing. But you know what happened to my son, my youngest son? Well, they were all out. You know how the boys play airsoft?
And say their ages so our listeners know what we're talking about.
I have an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old boy, and they were all out playing airsoft with all the neighborhood boys. And one of the neighborhood boys, who is also 12, got mad at my 8-year-old, and they start screaming and fighting about something. I don't even know. I didn't even know all this was going on because they're out in the yard. And he walks home and comes back with a knife.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, don't tell me who.
I'll tell you later. But pulls a knife on my 8-year-old and says, they were collectible knives, I guess, like Indian. I don't care what they are. But he said something like, you do that to me again. And I'm like, I found out about this much, much later. So I talked to my boys and I said, he is not allowed to come down here and play. If he comes down here, then let me talk to him, because get this. His father calls us to complain about our puppy biting his ankles.
Okay, but you know what? In my opinion, in that situation,
you should have called the parents.
I was going to call the parents. We never got that far into the day, is what I'm saying. So Kurt had not been, my husband had not come home yet.
Oh,
so he gets home, and I'm telling him about it. the phone rings, it's the dad.
Oh, so you got to
complain about the dog.
Oh, okay.
And so then did you get to change?
Absolutely. Oh, okay. Kurt got on the phone because it was the dad.
So how did it all go? I want to know how, like,
my husband said, you know, I can't even believe you're talking to me about my puppy biting your son's ankles when they all know the dog's in the backyard. When your son just pulled a knife on my 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, those aren't real. Those are not collectible. Kirk goes, I don't care what they are. You don't pull a knife. Long story short, this child's in alternative school now. He took a razor blade to school or something. Oh. I mean, it's just like, he's just not allowed at my house
anymore.
Okay,
that's a good segue into what I was talking about the other day with when you have a kid who is friends with your kid. My oldest daughter had a friend when she was younger, and she's no longer interested in being friends with her because they've just grown different in different ways.
And your oldest daughter is 12.
Yes, thank you. And however, and the girl goes to a different school now, but she continues to call my daughter because she wants to get together, and she doesn't evidently have any friends. I was talking to one of my daughter's other friends, and she was saying at school she sits by herself.
Aww.
And I was telling my daughter, I said, you know, I feel really bad because of that situation. I feel like this morally or whatever it is I'm feeling, that somebody needs to reach out to this girl because I feel mm-hmm. like she is headed down a road where she's going to be in trouble, you know, mm-hmm. in the next few years. And I said to my older daughter, I said, what do you think about inviting her to youth group at church? She, you know, she wants to, but this girl's the kind of girl that she will just attach herself to my daughter. And I don't necessarily want my daughter to have her as a friend. However, I have this pull that she needs somebody.
So you're torn.
It's a difficult situation. I really worry about her. And I mean, I know her whole family situation, and it's not good. And so what do you do in that situation? It's like you don't want to put your own child in a, you know, in a bad situation. But
the youth group is a good idea.
Do I contact? I was thinking about contacting the youth group leader.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing if he could reach out in some way, but not necessarily. I mean, that sounds bad, but...
Well, you could do that because he spends, I didn't know if you knew this, but he, during the school year, he goes to each of the schools and has lunch. So maybe he could work it and find out who that girl is and go on her lunchtime and maybe meet her and invite her. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see,
and make contact.
It's one of those situations where she will not get there without someone like me taking
picking her up.
Oh.
Well, and he may know somebody, or you know, I'm sure there's situations.
But yeah. you wouldn't even want your daughter to. You wouldn't want to take on that role to take her to youth.
Well, your daughter would be mad too because then she's kind of stuck.
She's not mad. I talked to her about it, and she understands. She understands where I'm coming from. She can see that at her age. She already can see that in her. But she said, "Mom, I don't want her
right.
to," because she does. She's been on the phone all summer calling her, and my daughter was very polite to her, but she does not want to get together with her. And I'm not forcing my kid to be friends with somebody.
But that's what
you
I'm saying. Then if you're picking her up, then your daughter and her in the car,
and
she's
going to
tag
right.
on your daughter. That's what I'm talking about. My son had my youngest 8-year-old came home, and one boy in his class was hitting and acting out. And so I said, you know what? We went through the whole thing. I said, maybe he's got some trouble at home and we don't know what's going on. And come to find out, his parents were getting a divorce, and this child mm-hmm. did not know how to handle that. And we prayed for him every night, and it was so sweet because I didn't know what to do for this child. Mm-hmm. I'd contacted the counselor at school, which she was already aware of the situation. But, you know, that gave my son some power.
Well, maybe I can
that
do that.
He could pray for her, for this kid every night. And we did. And he still will bring it up every now and then, say, I wonder how so-and-so's doing.
Yeah.
And he'll pray for him at night.
Okay.
It shows him there's power in prayer too.
That brings me to a story when my son, who is now 13, was in first grade. He always was best friends with girls for some reason. He just came home one day and he was complaining about this girl who used to be his best friend was being so mean to him. And then we talked, and he started telling me all these things that she was telling him about the parents getting a divorce, what was going on, the stepdad or the boyfriend, and just on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
first grade.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And I said,
son,
understand, please be patient. You know, when she's mean, it's because she doesn't know how else to behave. And I went to the teacher who could not believe everything this little girl had spilled to my son because it was very
personal.
Well, it was a lot of information, but she had to talk to someone. But then at the same time, this was the same person that she was the meanest to as well. So it was just that dichotomy of mm-hmm. this is who I trust because we've been best friends for so long, but yet at the same time, I'm going to.
You know what, though? That's a lesson in girls. Yeah, that too. You know, because my boys never have. I have two boys and a girl, and my boys never have the friend problems that my daughter does.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's girls true. Are so mean and so hateful, yeah, and so they're so much more hormonal and emotional. And my boys are like, eh, yeah, whatever. Okay, see ya. Okay, bye. Yeah. You know,
moving
yeah.
on.
And you know, yeah. they just forget about it. And it's a prime example. I know, a prime example. They will all be watching TV. The two boys and my daughter, 12, 10, and 8, and my daughter's in the middle. And my husband will go in and say, all right, come on, wash up for dinner, and come back in the kitchen, talk to me. And I'm like, where are the kids? Darn it. And he'll go back in. Guys, get up. Come on, dinner's ready. My daughter bursts into tears. The two boys just get up, shrug, go wash their hands. And she's like, why are you yelling at me? I mean, and my husband looks at me. He's like, what do I do with that? And I said, you just can't talk to her like you talk to boys.
That's girls not are just necessarily. So my kids, I can yell at my kids and they don't cry.
I can yell at my daughter, though. Some morning she gets up. And you just know from the get-go.
Yeah.
It is one of those days.
That hormonal thing.
It's one of those days. So I remember one morning my husband, she was crying about something. Either the shirt wasn't right, you know, not the right cereal. Something set her off. Here comes my husband, and he's going to rationally try to reason with
yeah,
her.
He's going to reason
with her. So he's following her around. Well, help me understand. You know, those male words. Help me understand. And I looked at him and I said, what are you, nuts? You know, just leave her
oh,
alone.
Oh, I can hear my husband saying, help me understand. He'd be yeah. like, butch up and get your stuff. Ready for
school. Yeah. Yeah, he's just trying to rationally. I was like, it's not rational. You are not going to logic.
There's nothing rational.
There is nothing logical
Send
you are going to say to fix.
Hours, yeah.
Just let her go. She's going to
cry. Let her
cry.
That's right.
She's going to get out of her system, and she will get on the bus and come home mm-hmm. a different
and
child.
Forget about it. Right.
Okay.
It
that's just what funny. Guys don't get about women is that when we start crying, don't try to fix it. Just let us cry. Right?
Or when you're talking and you're venting. Girls can vent to each other because I'll say, you know what? No. And he'll go, well, what you need to do? And I'm like, no. I am not asking you how to fix this. I'm just telling you, just stand there and nod your head and let me vent.
And but just say, I understand.
Just say, you we know what? That stinks.
Mm-hmm. Listen. Let all the men come listen to us right now.
Yeah.
This is words of wisdom.
This will save your marriage.
This will, yes.
Go drag your husbands right now.
And if you're not married, this will get you a date. If you listen to a girl and
you're
a man,
you're a guy listening to this.
Oh, I understand.
And your girlfriend starts bawling her eyes out. Just hand her a tissue.
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
Put your arm around her.
I understand.
And it's all good.
You're right. Don't try to say what you should have done or what you need to do and blah, blah, blah.
Because that took us a good 10 years to figure out. I don't know about 10, but a good 7 years to figure out in our marriage that that was going on. You know, I remember specifically sitting in my kitchen when we first moved here. And I had my youngest was a baby and my husband was working all the time. And he'd come home and I had no girlfriends. I can see him. I'm like, he comes in the door and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And well, he got defensive. Like he thought that he needed to fix everything and he felt stressed out because he couldn't fix it. And I didn't even realize the dynamics of what was going on, you know, and we were just.
You weren't asking for him to fix
no.
it. You didn't know that's how he was.
But
perceiving.
I didn't realize that I needed to vent and that he needed to just listen. I didn't know the whole Mars Venus thing. And, you know,
John Gray.
Go in your cave. Yeah.
It's very true.
Well, it's because women, we want to be famous. And here we go with the Lascivious Biddies and their great song. Famous.
I do like this song.
Lascivious.
I could see us with a fur on.
A
I
boa.
I want to be famous. I want to wear minks and satins
Tiara.
And pearls. I want to be famous more than just any old girl. I want to have eyes as blue as the sea. I want all the people to look at me. I want my own show on TV. I want to be that girl. I want to be famous. Eat out at Sardi's, have parties at Spy. I want to be famous. Go to Paris on private flights. I want to have lovers by the score. Movie producers knocking down my door. This is the fate that is in store. it. I want to be famous. Famous. Tabloids will print what I eat. I want to be famous. Who I do will be news on the street. Then when I'm old, I'll have a ball. They'll be shocked that I'm living at all. When I enter, the guests will fall to their knees. And then I'll slit the throats of my enemies. Spend all my dough on wine and cheese. When I'm famous, 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 famous. So exhausting.
I don't know about that slitting the throat part, but I like the wine and cheese.
And it is so exhausting to be trying to be famous. Oh,
we'll all have our fake red hair and our trench coats on.
Ooh.
At the Pod Show convention, that's what we should do. Wear our fake red hair and our trench coats.
And Sharon will have her maid outfit underneath that trench
there
coat.
You go.
After she stops eating her sugar and she starts to exercise.
I diet and exercise. That's right.
Well, we were talking earlier about when we were kids and influenced. And it got, I don't know why, we were talking about driving when we were younger. And it got me to thinking about this experience I had. I went to Williamsburg with two girls. I don't know. What, that's a like party place to go. Yeah. Well, let's go
take it to monuments.
Anyway, dress up in colonial outfits.
Yeah. What idea was that?
That's our first stop. Second stop is
I guess, so Williamsburg. We go out one night to this like dance club, and we're dancing, and this military guy, I think he was in the Marines, starts dancing with us, and he says, "Hey, do you want to go to a party with us?" And I remember his little friend Frankie was there with him. So we talked to, I'm not kidding you, we talked to him probably for 10 minutes, and we're like, "Okay, let's go to a party." We get in his car. Okay, hello.
We
never
did,
met
I
him
did that
in
stuff.
My life.
Oh, me too. I did that.
Get
stuff.
In the car, and we're driving and driving and driving, and my two girlfriends and I were in the back seat, and all of a sudden I start to realize this wasn't really very smart. We don't know these people.
Right.
They drive us to this apartment complex.
Far away.
Mom, if you're listening. And supposedly this huge party, we walk into an apartment full of probably 20 military guys. No women. I grab my girlfriend's arm and I said, we'll be right back. We have to go to the bathroom. So we go and I close the door and we're lock the door and we're in the bathroom. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going to die. We're going to die. Like, what are we thinking? So finally, this guy, Frankie, knocks on the door and he's like, girls, I know. Well, I'm sure this doesn't look very good. And he reassured us that everything was going to be fine. And that's basically all it took for us to come out and drink and play the guitar and sing Amazing Grace and all kinds of crazy stuff. But I mean,
Amazing Grace.
I didn't. My girlfriend did. And it was hysterical because she said, oh, I can sing. I can sing. So the guy starts playing guitar and she's like, Amazing Grace. And she's looking at me and I must have had a look of horror on my face because she's like, oh my God, I can't sing. Can I?
No, you can't. You have to be quiet.
I think she was praying.
But it was just that whole like feeling invincible. You know, let's just go.
It's not going to happen to us. Go with the flow.
Yeah, that is the part that scares me about my daughters because I think they might not intentionally want to put themselves in a bad situation. But just you're just naive. You're just not experienced. Naive.
Well, and you know what? I mean, I think we're so much more aware of it now. But my parents didn't say to me right point blank, you know, do not go anywhere other than, I mean, I'm saying?
My parents
we have these
did.
Conversations.
But I think that you think, I mean, I have thought, well, I'm going to be different in that way that I'm going to tell them, da, da, da. I'm telling you, I've met a number of women who had parents that were very, you know, straightforward
and still did it.
And talked to them.
Yeah, my parents were very strict with their guidelines, and I still did it. And my attitude was,
They're going to do it.
Yeah. I thought, well, what do they think? I'm stupid. I can't appropriately assess the situation. Don't they think I know stranger danger?
You know what? I'm just trying to scare mine to death.
What's 20 Marines in an apartment 45 minutes away from my car in Williamsburg?
I used to hitchhike everywhere.
Oh, my God.
My stars. Now, I never did that.
Oh, we did too.
I hitchhiked. You did, Amy?
Oh, yeah.
You guys are gorgeous. I mean, seriously, you're lucky that you're even on the planet anymore because...
I used to hitchhike.
Can you imagine that?
Barefoot, cut off jean shorts with a little
like
midriff...
Daisy
remember?
May or whatever.
With, yeah. Oh remember gosh. When little midriff yeah. shorts
Did
went?
Did you hitchhike with me?
I did.
And I would have no ID.
I would have no money.
You're lucky
and
to end up in a
ditch. I am so lucky. And who always picked me up? You don't think moms picked me up.
Truckers.
No, I didn't get truckers. Men picked me up. I rode in a lot of cars.
We did have a mom pick us up one time, and she's like, girls, I'm taking you all the way to the beach because I have daughters your age, and you guys really shouldn't be doing that. I mean, she was very sweet, and I remember that, you know?
Yeah. Do your parents know you were hitchhiking?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's exactly my point. Your parents probably told you not to hitchhike, and you did it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, you had strict parents. I had parents that were like, we'll party with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like
I think if a kid's going to do some, well, I don't know, maybe not.
There's got to be some balance in there somewhere, doesn't there?
We just got to scare them to death, I'm telling you.
That's my goal, too.
I'm dead serious.
I scare them.
How do you scare them? Are we just going to take them daily over to the...
No, wait a second. Sharon's the one that didn't... Let's learn. Let's all be very quiet and listen to Sharon. She's the one that wasn't bad. Yeah, so what did your parents do?
When we say I wasn't bad, I mean, I hitchhiked one time. There were 8 of us.
Well, you could have taken that back.
That's not counting.
So that's like, the only person who could pick us up was
inhale. No, that doesn't count.
I tell you what, my sisters are older than I am.
You learn from their mistakes?
They rocked the world. Oh, I mean, you name it, they did it.
That is a dynamic that works.
But we can't all have older siblings.
I know. I think it's innate. I really do think it's innate. Like, I think
there's
my
nothing
son,
we can do about it, is what you're saying?
No,
I do.
I don't know. I just think...
I think my son is going to inherently know right from wrong, and I think my daughter is going to push the envelope.
I know my daughter's pushing the envelope. She does it now.
I just think it's her personality.
But I do think there's a way you can a little bit tweak that, and I think it's because my parents were so strict. Not that my mom was, but my dad was really authoritarian. Well, that tells you something. So my dad ruled with this very authoritarian way of it's my way or the highway.
Well, and
so I was very rebellious. But but when my mom related to me, I wanted to be a better kid and do what she said.
You wanted to please her.
Yes. When she was very loving and saying, honey, please, I love you and I'm doing this for your own good and teaching you these things, then that really got to me. But when my dad was mean about it and if you blah, 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 then I was like, forget it. I'm just going to do what I want.
Right.
So, you know that one method of, I think we talked about this before, that step method of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing with them, is teaching the child the consequences to your actions and self-responsibility. So it's not pleasing mommy so that she loves me, or it's not, you know, doing what daddy says because he's going to beat the crap out of me. It's what choices do I want to make, and what can I live with, you know, for myself and that kind of thing. And that's the hard part. And that's at the ages that our kids are at now, coming into their preteens, is where I feel like I'm trying to make that shift of, you know.
You decide.
Yeah.
You have the power.
You know, I cannot make these decisions for you all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where I try to brainwash them.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, really, with like smoking. Of course, my father died from emphysema, so they saw him carry around an oxygen tank, mm-hmm. and they will never smoke. But they also, and now my mother still smokes, but they hate the smell of it and how gross it is. So I don't miss an opportunity. If we're in a store, I'll walk by and go, ooh, gross. Did you smell that lady? She smokes. See what you're going to smell like if you smoke? I mean, I don't miss an opportunity. And I know it's horrible, but it's... And then the whole drug thing, when I heard that there were some kids doing drugs, and then my son plays hockey with them, and I said, watch his game. And his game, he made a mistake or something. Of course, I blamed it on the drugs. You know, and my son said,
it's a teaching moment.
Well, it was. And I just said, that's what will happen, because that's what drugs do to you. They affect you physically and mentally. You can't make good decisions. Your reflexes are going to slow. So if you want to be good at this or at school or whatever, mm-hmm. then, you know what? Don't do drugs. It's your choice, you know? And what are you going to say? That's important, too. Mm-hmm. I caught him totally off guard. What are you going to say when you're offered drugs? He was like, what? What? I said, what do you think?
Know,
you're not?
The hard part, like, when I think about my upbringing, when alcohol was okay in the house, which I drink wine in front of my kids. I mean, we all do. Mm-hmm. I was pretty adamant on not trying drugs. I mean, I tried pot a couple times, but sorry, mom, if you're listening, but alcohol was okay. And so alcohol, I totally overdid it with alcohol, you know? So how do you
overindulge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still struggle to this day.
Well, you mean all of us, when you were saying, I just want to get a little clarification for listeners, because you were saying, well, we all drink wine. You're meaning like all of us sitting here drink wine.
Yes.
Yes. In
front Divas.
Of yeah.
As
yeah,
compared
yeah.
to who?
I'm just thinking as meaning the whole population.
That's
what occurred to me now, obviously.
I don't resonate as the whole world does, but I know you girls
the west
do.
Of you.
Well, you know, one thing that my children said that I thought was very interesting, they saw something on TV and this guy was acting really stupid. Of course, I can't stand that show, Cops. I don't like my kids watching it, but of course my dad let them watch it. But you know what? They see a lot on there and they're like, Mom, look at that guy. He's so, what's his problem? I'm like, he's drunk.
Well,
they're
that's
like, that's
true.
What you look like when you're drunk.
They don't
I go,
see me drunk.
Yeah.
They don't see me drunk.
They don't see you drunk. There's a difference. So they see that person who's drunk and what an idiot they are and the bad choices.
But they, but when they're first, you know, they alcohol's okay. They don't know how much it's going to take to get them drunk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's that, do I stop drinking wine? And, you know.
And face it, when you're a kiddo trying alcohol, it's not because you just want a little glass of wine to relax. You're going to get buzzed.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, the goal is to get buzzed.
Well,
and their mindset will be that.
Absolutely.
If that's the choice.
Well, one thing that was never relayed to me, I don't know the word I'm thinking of, but was that it's illegal. I mean, you know what? I did all kinds of stuff that was illegal, and I'm trying to teach my kids, impress upon them. That's what I'm thinking. I want my kids to understand the difference between legal and illegal. And you know what? You don't drink because it's illegal when you're 15. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I know somebody who drug tests their kids. And you know why they do it? Because it gives their kids an out. Because then if they're offered drugs, they can say, I'm not doing that. My parents drug test me, and I'm not getting grounded
How
over this.
How old are they?
There's like four boys. You
are
know
they
the
like
family,
teenagers?
I think. One's in middle school, late middle school or high school.
Wow.
I can't remember all the ages.
It's an interesting
concept.
Which is
an interesting concept.
It's an interesting way.
That's a good way to get them out.
Because you want to give them an out.
Well, I think parents need whatever they can muster
we need
in
all the
their
help
toolbox.
We can get.
And I do think role-playing and giving them ideas of things to say and how to handle the situation will give them confidence.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
When they really are faced with that.
Yeah. Well, and I know this is a little thing, but I know that like if somebody calls the house, like you were talking about, Carrie, somebody calls the house for my oldest son and he doesn't want to go over there because it's not a good choice. And he knows that. I told him to make me the bad guy.
Yeah, I do that
always,
too. Yeah.
Always make me the bad guy. So blame it on me or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, girls. I have to go. I get a girls' weekend. So,
bye, everybody.
Thanks
bye
for listening.
Bye. Thanks for being with us, you all. Go ahead and give us some feedback at 678-884-0524 or email us at diva@thedivacast.com. Also, don't forget our Frapper map. Plug us in or plug yourself in.
So we know where you're listening from.
Thanks to Natalie Brown for our intro music, and this is Help Me Out with the Name, Children.
Amplifico.
And All My Sins. Why are we finishing with All My Sins?
All My Sins, because we are
we just talked about it. We just talked about a couple of them.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You found all your sins. The compromise in every detail just to be color all our lives in the flicker of which we not think or suffer. Only time will tell. Don't look, I'd like to rattle a few. You found all your sins and threw them away. You found all your sins and threw them away. You found all your sins, threw them away. You found
get this podcast and more great ones like it on the High Performance Podcast Delivery Network from Podjo and Limelight Networks.
I love it.